Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So we're starting a new sermon series here at the beginning of Lent, and it's a coordinated study. So most of our adult Sunday school classes will be studying the same scriptures that we are preaching on each week. And the name of the study is He Set His Face Toward Jerusalem. And we will look at that text today. But the text that is referencing the title comes from Luke 9. It's verse 51, and it says this: When the days drew near for him to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem. And this occurs about a third of the way through the Gospel of Luke. But the truth is that this verse, 9:51, it is the hinge point of the entire Gospel of Luke. The Gospel of Luke is broken out into kind of three main areas. The first is chapter 1 through chapter 9, verse 50. And that's broken down as the Galilean ministry. And then chapter 9, verse 51 through chapter 19, verse 27 is the journey to Jerusalem. And then 19:28 through 24:53, the end of the book, is Jerusalem, the Passion, and the Resurrection. This Lenten season, we will travel with Jesus through the Gospel of Luke to Jerusalem, his death on a cross, and his resurrection on that first Easter morning. Today's text comes from chapter 9, verses 49 through 62. Hear these words. John answered, "Master, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him because he does not follow with us." But Jesus said to him, "Do not stop him, for whoever is not against you is for you." When the days drew near for him to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem. And he sent messengers ahead of him. On their way, they entered a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him, but they did not receive him because his face was set toward Jerusalem. When his disciples, James and John, saw it, they said, "Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them?" But he turned and he rebuked them. Then they went on to another village, and as they were going along the road, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." To another he said, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." But Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home." Jesus said to him, "No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." This is the word of God for the people of God. So this whole chapter, you have had, having a brain cramp here. There's so much going on in chapter 9. You had the transfiguration, where Jesus goes up to the mountain with James and John, and he is transfigured before them, and he is there with Moses and Elijah. And then Peter is asked the question that we all ultimately will be asked is, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter confesses that he is the Messiah. And then immediately after that, the disciples start arguing among themselves about who is the greatest. And then that brings us to our text here today. And this passage begins with the disciples telling Jesus, "Hey, we saw this guy that was casting out demons in your name, but we tried to stop him because he's not one of us." And then Jesus lays this profundity on them. He says, if they're not against you, they're for you. And we can find ourselves thinking like the disciples, thinking that if they are not with us, they are against us. And that is just not true. The fact of the matter is, Jesus says it plainly. If they are not against you, they are for you. That can sometimes be our reaction. I think this is the instinct of an insecure discipleship, a not full understanding of the gospel. We confuse the kingdom of God with our group, with us. We confuse faithfulness with exclusivity. We assume that if someone is not with us, then they must be against us. And that is not true. The kingdom of God is at work all around us in all kinds of ways, in people that we don't know, people that don't think like us, people that don't look like us. The truth is, we do not have the exclusive claim on the name of Jesus. Jesus died for the world, for all of humanity. And we don't get to claim an exclusive claim on his name. The truth is that the kingdom is bigger than our preferences, bigger than our preference for a particular style of worship or a particular theology. God works through whom God chooses to work through. The mission of the kingdom of God is broader than our tribe, broader than our own wants and wishes. And then we get to the pivot point of the gospel. It's verse 51, where Luke tells us that Jesus set his face toward Jerusalem. Let's be clear. This wasn't just some sort of happenstance. Jesus chose the cross. Jesus knew what was about to unfold. And Jesus gathered up himself and he set his face toward Jerusalem, knowing that he would die on a cross, knowing that he would be betrayed. He knows what awaits him. Jesus set his face with a determination that he would fulfill his mission. He would fulfill what God had sent him to do. Jesus chooses the cross, and he chose obedience over his will, over his own desires to probably not be crucified. He chose to be obedient to God's will. He chose the cross because he loves you. Jesus wasn't dragged to the cross. He wasn't forced on this path. Jesus chose the costly path because of his love of you. This is what it means to set one's face. Jesus chose obedience despite the great cost to him. For us, setting one's face towards Jesus means choosing obedience over comfort, choosing faithfulness over ease. It means aligning our direction with the will of God. So now Jesus is determined to go to Jerusalem to fulfill his mission. He is making his way to the cross. But along the way, and we will read about these as we do this study, There are many distractions that come along for Jesus. Things that try to knock Jesus off course or unset his face toward Jerusalem, if you will. Our text tells us that Jesus sent some of his disciples ahead to a Samaritan village that would not receive him. You know, what's interesting here is going from Galilee to Jerusalem, the shortest path is right through Samaria. But you might recall that the Jews and the Samaritans kind of had a Hatfield and McCoy feud going on. I mean, the Samaritans would go out of their way to make it difficult for Jews that were traveling through Samaria. And the normal path that Jewish people would take from Galilee to Jerusalem took them outside of Samaria, where they didn't have to travel. They would take the long way. But Jesus, no. He goes straight in to Samaria. And he goes to this village and offers his hand of friendship and love. And they reject that. And James and John, they think they're Elijah. And they say, Jesus, do you want us to bring fire down on them from heaven? And the scripture says Jesus rebuked them. Scripture's silent as to exactly what was said here. I wonder what that was like. I wonder what those disciples felt after Jesus rebuked them. Do you see what Jesus is teaching us with this? It's a lesson in tolerance. Jesus is teaching us about tolerance. Jesus could have been offended. It could have slowed his journey. He could have said, whoa, let's just stop. I'll show these people what a really great guy I am. But he doesn't. He moves on to the next village and he accepts their rejection. And in doing so, gives us a model for tolerance. Then Jesus has encounters with these three disciples, three people who want to follow him. The first one says, "Hey, Jesus, I will follow you anywhere you go." And I love this part. Jesus gives him fair warning. He says, "Foxes have holes, birds have nests, but me, the Son of Man, I have no place to lay my head." He is giving this guy fair warning. You follow me, it's not going to be easy. It's not going to be comfortable. It's not going to be all sunshine and roses. I'm the Son of Man, and I have no place to lay my head. And then the second disciple comes along and says, "I will follow you, but first let me bury my father." And Jesus' response is, "Let the dead bury the..." I mean, the pastor in me stops and says, "Oh, I'm so sorry to hear about your loss. How can we..." This is telling us that our mission to spread the gospel is important. It's not something just to be done sort of as we pass time, but there is a sense of urgency in our need to go out and share the good news of the kingdom of God. What Scripture is telling us here is we need to set our face to follow Jesus. And the third one comes along and says, "I will follow you, but first let me say goodbye to my loved ones." And Jesus says to him, "No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." Jesus is telling us that part of being a follower of his is to be looking forward. We're not to be looking back. We're not to be looking back and lamenting our sins and our mistakes and the things that we did wrong, but we are to be looking forward and sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. The scripture is telling us that when we set our face to follow Jesus, to be his disciple, it won't be easy. It might cost us. We might have to make some choices that make us uncomfortable or uneasy, maybe even frightened. When we set our face upon Jesus, it can be hard. But you see, Jesus set his face on Jerusalem, not for his glory, but for yours. Jesus set his face on Jerusalem so that you might receive salvation. Jesus set his face on Jerusalem because he loves you more than you know. Jesus set his face towards Jerusalem so that you might have eternal life. Nothing deterred him. His face was set upon the cross. And on that cross, he bore your sins, all of them. Because he bore your sins, you are forgiven. My question for you this day is, to what have you set your face? Have you set your face to the glories of the world? The accumulation of power or glory or material goods? To what have you set your face? Maybe you have set your face on him, on the one who died that you might live. You know, Jesus set his face with a determination to accomplish his mission. Have you set your face on him with that kind of determination that you will follow him no matter what? If you have not yet set your face upon Jesus, I invite you to do that today. Set your face upon Jesus, because he set his face upon the cross that you might live, that you might be free. Set your face upon him. Let us pray. Oh, gracious God, we are so unworthy of your grace. We are amazed that you chose the cross, that we might live, that we might be forgiven, that we might be free. Father, we thank you. We give you our unending thanks. We ask that you would be with us, that you would help us to set our face on you. Give us the determination and the stamina to be a follower of yours all the days of our life. We pray this in Jesus' holy name. Amen.